We're holding on Gimel on the Beis, about seven lines from the end of the narrow lines, the line being Loisa, yeah? Getting back to something that we said before, we had this on Beis on the Beis. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Krach v'chol ha'somach lo, a walled city and everything that's close by it, v'chol ha'nira imo, and anything that's seen together with it, Nidin k'krach, is considered like part of the walled city. So on that, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, somuch afishen nira, this rule applies if it's close by, even if it can't be seen, and nira afishen somuch, and it can be, if it's visible, then it's considered part of the walled city, even if it's not close by. What exactly that means is there's a lot of discussion among the Rishonim what exactly this means, because we did learn then that all of this only applies up to a mil. All of this only applies up to a mil away from the city. So are we talking about then that it has to be within a mil from the city? And then even if it's not visible, or what do we mean by visible exactly? Does it have to be, for example, that the whole unwalled area has to be able to be visible from within the city? A lot of different possibilities. Anyway, Sigmar says, Bishlam and Nira Afishain is somewhat. I can understand how you can have that the nearby village can be seen even if it's not nearby. Mashkas is Lakrendi Yasu Bara Shahar. You can find that if, for example, it's at the top of a mountain. So it's visible from the city. But it's not it's visible from the city, but it's not that nearby. Ela somuch afreshen near a heichem ashkach. Well, how do you have a case where it's close but it can't be seen? What would that mean? The pashtus, if it's close, you should be able to see it. The answer is Amar Rabbi Yemiya sheyeshavet b'nachal. We're talking about that we're talking about either the walled city or the smaller village nearby is in a valley. Therefore, it's a low down place. So therefore, even though it's relatively close by, it's within a mil. But it's somuch. It's nearby. It's within the mil. But it's ainin nira, either that you can't see it from within the city, or that it's not visible as being like attached to the city. There's an interesting thing that's brought up in a sefer from Rav Pinchas Karitza. What exactly was Gemara's question? I mean, it seems pretty obvious. If you understand one situation as talking about that it's on top of a hill, then the other one, logically, is when it's in a valley. He says basically like this. He says, what's the point of having a walled city is the enemies can't easily shoot artillery or missiles or what have you inside it. What would be the good of having such a city in a valley? Necessarily, you'd want either on flat land or on a mountain. So the Gemara starts off with the assumption, okay, so the city, you know, we're talking about the city is at the top of a mountain, so therefore you can have a nearby village which is down below on the flat land, you know, in the plains, where it might, you know, where it's nearer, you can see it from within the city, even though it's not so subtle. Well, how would you ever have the other way around? Why would anybody bother building a walled city in a valley? We're holding the Gimel on the Beis. And the answer is that we're not necessarily talking about it's in a valley, but it's on the walled city is on flat land, and then the nearby village is in a valley. So you don't see it. This whole kind of thing, by the way, about Samoch and Nira, they discussed this in the last 100-odd years when Yerushalayim started growing, when they started building all the new neighborhoods outside the old city. To what extent are they considered part of Yerushalayim in Reading 15? So, I am reasonably familiar with Yerushalayim. Yossel, are you giving the shiur or am I? Okay, so then let me talk, please. So there was, for example, there was Rabbi Chiyo Michal Tukuchinsky, one of the big poskim of Yerushalayim 70 or 80 years ago, actually held that we go according to what the Gemara said yesterday. You only go according to Beis and Beis. You only go up to a mil. So he actually measured a mil from the walls of Yerushalayim up to that point in the new neighborhood you read on the 15th. Anything beyond that, you celebrate Purim and read the Megillah on the 14th. Most of the other poskim of that period and afterwards disagreed with him. They said since you have the, you know, the solidly built up long far past that, then you still go according to that as far out as it's contiguous still belongs to Yerushalayim and still reads on the 15th. There is a lot of argument about the neighborhood of Ramot in the north of Yerushalayim, because geographically it's a bit separated from the rest of Yerushalayim. You have some forests and then highways and whatnot in the middle over there. So there is a big question whether that can be considered an extension of Yerushalayim or not.
Since the prophet says that Damascus will
certainly
become
a... That's in your Mashiach times. We're not there yet. We're talking about the case where you have a village next to a city where we're saying it's
still
there. One more thing, and Yossel, how about we save the history lesson for later, please? One more thing about that is there was a further question about all this during the 19 years from 1948 till 1967, when the whole old city was in Arab hands and no Jews were living over there. Can you consider the new city to be an extension of the old city to that extent when there are no Jews living in it? That also became a big discussion, partly based on the next thing in the Gemara over here. V'amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, krach yoshev l'vasev chokach. If you were not the next thing, the thing after this, actually, first something in between. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi also says a walled city, sheyoshav l'vasev chokach. First, it was settled. Later on, they surrounded it with a wall. Nidin kikfar. We still consider it like a village, meaning not like a walled city. Even if it was walled in the times of Yishuv ben Nun, you still consider it like a regular city. My timer. Why? The pasuk says if a person sells a city, a house that is in a city. That's resident in a city that has a wall, which implies Moishav, based Moishav, Yerchaim means a city that is a resident of a city that has a wall. So it has to be that it had a wall to begin with. Shehukah full of a safe Yashav, it has to be that first it was surrounded with a wall and then it was settled, Veloisha Yashav full of a safe hookah, not that it was settled and then afterwards surrounded with a wall. Now, what are we talking about? Are we talking about over here that this din of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, are we referring it over here to Rashi says that it's actually not talking about the din of Megillah at all. We're talking about the din of Batei Arechema, the din that if you sell a house in a walled city, you know, you have a year to buy it back, and if not, then it's gone forever. That's what Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is talking about, not necessarily as far as Megillah. Tosfos argues that, among other things, Tosfos says if that's the case, why are we bringing it over here in Megillah instead of in Erchin, where the Mishnah discusses that concept? But Tosfos says we are talking about as far as Purim. Yeah, there is a further discussion. There is a further machlokus mishonim. What happens, for example? I mean, so what about all the cities in Eretz Yisrael when they conquered Eretz Yisrael? They had no way of knowing whether the cities were first walled and then settled, or vice versa. What if you have some city over there where first a bunch of Canaanim settled over there, later on they surrounded with a wall? How are you going to know the difference? So there's a few different opinions in mishonim. One is indeed they knew with Ruach HaKodesh, which is which. But there are other ways of looking at it. Is basically that the clock sets as of when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael.
Not from when
the Goyim were settled there from beforehand. We ignore that. We consider as of when the Jews settled there. It already had a wall because they came and found it with a wall and they settled there. That's considered hukuf of the Seif Yashav, even if the original inhabitants had actually put a wall up only afterwards. So v'loy sheyoshav v'loy sei hukaf, not where it was settled and afterwards surrounded. V'amr Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, another din, krach she'en bay asara batlonim, a walled city that does not have 10 batlonim, which we'll talk about in the next Mishnah, what the asara batlonim are, nidin kifar, it's considered like a village. In the sense that since we're saying the villagers can read on the Yom HaKnisa, they can read on the Monday or Thursday before Purim, we're saying that even if it's a walled city, if it doesn't have asara batlonim, we still consider it like that. Or actually, no, one second, I shouldn't say a walled city. Are we talking over here about a walled city, or are we talking about a big city over here? Tosfos actually says we're only talking about a big city. We're not talking about a walled city. A walled city, Tosfos says, doesn't matter whether it has a sort of a flaunting or not. You still always read on the 15th in it. They don't get to move it back. This that we're talking about over here, krach, means specifically a large city. So it's not a village, it's not a small town, it's a fair-sized town, but it doesn't have a sarab aplonim, and therefore we give them the same dispensation as a kfar to be able to read over the year. But we're not saying, if it's a walled city, that's different. Tosfos says, a walled city always reads on the 15th, no matter what. whether it has a Starbucks on it or not. This also got into the discussion that I was just mentioning about during the 19 years of the old city. Obviously there's no Asar HaBatlanim over there. It's what the Gemara is going to call over here, Charav Olav HaSayf Yashav, that it was destroyed and then resettled. But nevertheless, according to Tosfos' way of looking at it, throughout all that time, if there had been any Jews in the old city, they would have read on the 15th, then yes, by the same logic, then the newer neighborhoods also can go according to that.
But wasn't there any time when there was always Jews? How can we say there were no
during Jews? The 19 years, from 1948 to 67, there were no Jews in the old city.
Yeah, but
no, it was under Jordanian rule. Any Jews who lived there would have been killed. Or deported or what have you, yeah. No, yeah. So then we ask, my kamash malon, what's the chiddush? Tanena, we learn in the next Mishnah, ezehi u'gdola, what's considered a big city, kol sheyesh bo asara batlanim. If it has 10 batlanim, the 10 batlanim is the idea you have 10 people that are available always. Rashi says it means that there are 10 people who basically their job is to be in shul, to be there for the minyanim. The Rambam says a little bit differently that their job is tzarchei tzibur. They do things for the kehillah, but also that means they're available. Okay, good. That's where he's getting it from the Rambam. But he didn't come up with it on his own. Come on. Yeah. There are some Rishonim who say that it doesn't even have to be. I mean, nowadays you don't have any place. You have very few places where you have actually a sort of a plot of literally 10 people whose job it is to sit in shul all day long. No, it means as long as you have that there's enough people who come regularly to shul that you always have when it's time for the minyan. There's always a minyan. That's already considered a sort of a plot. They're called batlanim because they're bottled from regular work because their job is to be there for the minyan.
So if a place
has a lot of Jews, but they have trouble getting a minyan together, that's considered that they don't have a sort of batlanim. Which, I mean, nowadays as a practical matter, this din is not really relevant. We learned anywhere in the world, because we learned on Daf Beis already. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta that this whole concept that the Mishnah had said that you can read the Megillah earlier on the 11th or 12th or 13th on the Yom HaKnisah before Purim doesn't apply nowadays. It only applies when the Sanhedrin was deciding the month on a month by month basis, and all Jews were living in Eretz Yisrael or whatever. It doesn't apply nowadays.
Now we know.
Well, there's that too, right?
So yeah. We may be going back to this when Mashiach comes. Right?
Maybe. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. So the Mishnah already says that. What's Rabbi Shimon Levi's chiddush? The answer is, if it's less than a sarab plonim, then it's a village. The answer is krachitz tirichle. The chiddush is you have to be talking about a really large city. You might think, people are always visiting the city from the outside. Okay, so you don't have a sort of atlanim, but you will always have, you'll be able to get people. People will be coming to shul. People will be coming to shul, but the answer is that no, because you don't have them kavua. You don't have them kavua over there. You want to have, in order for it to be considered an irgdola, it has to have that there are 10 people who are kavua that they'll come to shul.
Extending basically the 10 by finding something possible.
No, you're saying, in other words, that for it not to be a kfar, it has to have a sort of aplanim. So even if it's a large city, even if it's Ir Gdola Kaninve, it still has to have, yeah.
It doesn't,
and if it doesn't, then it's considered a kfar, yeah. A city that was destroyed and then resettled, Nidin Kakrach. It's considered again like a big city, like a walled city. Question is, my chorev. What do you mean destroyed? You mean that the walls have been destroyed, but the houses are still intact? Well, and what do you mean? Yashav Ein Lo Yashav Lo. So what do you mean only if it was resettled? That, meaning that it was actually, that the walls were rebuilt. Would you say you read on the 15th, otherwise not? But we learn in a braise, Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Yehoshua, Asher Loi Chayma, the pasuk when it's talking about Batei Orei Chayma and Parshas Bahar, says, there's a kriyuk siv over there. It says Asher Loi Chayma, it's written with an aleph, we read it with a vav. Loy with an aleph means not. Loy with a vav means it has. So what is it? Af pishein la'achshav means even if it doesn't have a wall now, as long as it had a wall beforehand in the times of Yeshua, then it counts as a walled city. So what is Rabbi Shimon Levi telling us? That if the walls were destroyed only when they're rebuilt, let's go back to being a walled city. According to this, loy with a vav would mean that it has now. Loy with an aleph means that it doesn't have. So by putting those two together, we say even if it doesn't have right now, as long as it had then. So rather, what does it mean that it was destroyed? It means it's destroyed in the sense that it had, there weren't the Asar HaBatlanim, and then it regained them. So yes, as long as it doesn't have a Sarab Aklonim, Rabbi Shurban Levi had just said it's considered a Kfar. Once it regains the Sarab Aklonim, we go back to the old thing that it's considered an Ir Gdola. They have to read the Megillah on the 14th, or according to Tosfos, if it's a walled city, it doesn't matter whether it had a Sarab Aklonim or not. Either way, they always read on the 15th.
If Khan Heights was in Eretz Israel, what would be considered?
It would be considered a new Gdola. It has a Sarab Aklonim, but it wouldn't be considered a crack. It's not walled. Here's some cities that are walled. Lod, Onoiv, Geya Harashim. Lod is a city of Lod in Eretz Israel. Onoiv is also a city over there, and Geya Harashim. They're all in the territory of Binyamin. They're all Mokopis Chaim, and most Yeshua ben Nun have. They are all cities that are walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Now, what's the Chiddush? Rashi says, because when you looked at, if you went to Lod or any of these other cities and you looked at the walls in Rabbi Shimon Levi's time, they didn't look that old. They didn't look like they go all the way back, 1,500 years or whatever it was to Yeshua ben Nun's time. So you'd say to yourself, well, then they obviously weren't walled then. His Chiddush is they were, just walls collapsed at one point, as the Gemara was going to say, and they rebuilt them. That's why they look newer. But they really go back to that time. You're telling me Yeshua built those cities? But El-Pal built them. In Divrei Yomim, it lists the descendants, lists the many, many descendants of Binyamin. It says, Bashomer, actually it says in the Pasuk over there, Hu bonas oinoves loidu v'neseha. He, which the Gemara apparently over here says that he refers to El-Pal, actually the Siddur David, and the Pasuk says there it's referring to Shomed, but anyway, built Oinoi and Lud and its daughters, meaning the little villages around it. So we see that, and this is the Pashtus, the Gemara is assuming that El-Pal lived long after Yeshua. The Pasuk doesn't really spell out when he lived over there, but the Gemara, I guess, had the Kabbalah that he lived long after Yeshua. I ask, okay, going according to your own logic, you could ask from a different pasuk. Asa Benani, King Asa, the fifth king of Malchut Yehuda, is actually the one who built these cities. If you're going to go based on that there's a pasuk that mentions these cities being built, then you have a pasuk that mentions Asa building them. Dichtiv, Vayivin Asa, it's Orei Metzurah Sashay the Yehuda, there's no such pasuk really. Vayivin Orei Metzurah Yehuda, it says on the side. He built fortified cities in Yehuda, meaning all the fortified cities that were in his kingdom, in Yehuda and Binyamin, because the kings of Yehuda also ruled over Binyamin, so that would include these cities. And again, also several hundred years after Yeshua. So what is it? Amar Abba Lazar, Hani Mokopas Chaimim Meit Yeshua Ben Nun Habu. These cities really were surrounded by a wall all the way back from the time of Yeshua. What happened? Chorov Vimei Pelegesh Begiva. They were destroyed after the whole story of Pelegesh Begiva that we talked about last week at the end of Tainus, that Bnei Binyamin, there was a civil war between Bnei Binyamin and the rest of the Shvatim. Most of Binyamin was wiped out, and the Pasuk says that all the cities of Binyamin were destroyed. So the cities were destroyed. But also El-Pal Benani. Then El-Pal came along and rebuilt them. Hodur in full, then over the years they gradually started falling in again, hundreds of years perhaps. Also came, he didn't build them from scratch. He rebuilt them, he renovated them. Shiput, like in Hebrew, means renovations. So therefore, yeah, they really do go back to Yeshua ben Nun. You, in Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's times, you're standing over there and you see the walls only look a few hundred years old, they don't look 1,500 years old. That's why, because they've been renovated several times, yeah. I can prove that also from the words of the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says to the people, let's build these cities. Which means that there were cities there to begin with. It's not like he's building cities from scratch. Shmamina, good, that proves it. Women are also chayev in Mikra Megillah. Because they were also involved in that nest. Rashi says because the Gzeira was on both men. Well, so Rashi says it's because the Gzeira was on everybody, men, women, and children. And Noshim Matav. So women are equally much in it as men. Tosfos discusses that. Tosfos quotes from Rashbam that what it means Achin Hoya Ba'isa Nest is that the Iker Nest happened through a woman, through Esther. We say the same thing about Chanukah. We say Achein Hoyer Ba'isa Nes. Same thing over there. A large part of the Nes happened with the story of Yehudis over there. So Tosfos discusses the issue. Does this mean actually, if women are equally chayav with men in Megillah, does that mean women can read the Megillah and be mostly men? So Tosfos discusses. Maybe yes. That maybe yes, that women can actually read the Megillah and actually be mostly men. Tosfos discusses. Other Rishonim and the later posts can discuss it. They come to different conclusions on it. Some say that women can read Megillah to be mostly other women, but not to be mostly men. For various reasons, one because of Kavod HaTzibur, others argue that maybe the chiyuv of men and women is different, even though we're saying Achin Oyev Oitanes, it is basically a mitzvah Tzeta Shazman Grama, we just have a special thing to say that they're included in it, so the chiyuv is not quite on the same level as men, therefore they can't be mostly men. A lot of different possibilities as far as that. No, that's not why. Because if anything, they could read it without the Torah if it came to that. But no. Besides that, also, yeah. I mean, there is, by the way, an interesting discussion also that the Achronim have on this. What about Avodim? What about Avodim Knanim? Are they chayiv in the mitzvah of Megillah? Are they chayiv in the mitzvah of Sipurim? Mm-hmm. One way of looking at it is maybe not. So you know, they're not really part of the Jewish people. On the other hand, they were included in the Gezeirah as well. The Vilna Gaon, I think it is, writes on Shulchan Aruch that in fact Avodim are not chayiv in the mitzvah supporting. Because we're saying over here Noshim, but not necessarily Avodim. On the other hand, the Rogachover points out, the Rebbe quotes this a number of times in Tichus, that we have the words in the Megillah that say that the mitzvahs of Purim are v'al kol ha'nilvim aleihem. They're on everybody who is joined to the Jewish people. Now, what does that mean? The Rogachover says it can't mean Geirim. Obviously, Geirim are chayiv in Megillah. They are chayiv in the mitzvahs of Purim. They're full-fledged Jews. Obviously, then it must be talking about Avodim. And therefore, he says that, yes, Avodim are chayiv in the mitzvahs of Megillah. And for the same reason, Achein ha'yavot aneh. Ah, that's the thing, actually. I think the Vilna Gaon wants to say that he wants to understand Achin Hoyabot HaNeth in the sense that Tosfos quotes Rashbam, that it means that the Neth happened through a woman, Esther. In that case, Avodim were involved. Mashenkin, the Rogachover, is going according to Rashi's understanding, that Achin Hoyabot HaNeth means the Gzeira was equally much on men as on women. Well, in that case, the Gzeira was on Avodim as well.
Cool,
man. Cool, yeah. V'amr Abishur ben Levi, Purim Shechalias B'Shabbos. If Purim comes out on Shabbos, which nowadays can only happen in Purim de Mokofim, they're the ones who celebrate Purim on the 15th in Yerushalayim. So if it comes out on Shabbos, Sholin v'Dorshin bin Yonah Shoyoyim, you ask and you darshin about the matters of the day. Rashi says that we're talking about the darshin about the Megillah. Other Rishonim say that we're talking about darshining the dinim of Purim. Why? My area Purim. What does Rabbi Shimon Levi have to mention Purim? For the Yom Tov Nami. And the same thing applies to every Yom Tov. The Tanya, Moshe Tikkun Lahem Yisrael. We're going to have this at the end of our Masechta, that Moshe made a takana for the Jewish people. She was Sholin V'Dorshin, that people should ask questions to the Rabbanim, and the Rabbanim should darshin bin Yonah Shoyim about the matters of the day. Hilchos Pesach Pesach, Hilchos Atzeres Batzeres, Hilchos Chag B'Chag. So the same thing applies to every Yom Tov. What's the Chiddush Purim? The answer is Purim it's Tzrichalei. Yes, but Rabbi Shimon Levi specifically had to mention Purim when it comes out on Shabbos. Because he might have thought, we're going to have an Ahmed Bey's, the famous Zayr Dirabba, why we don't lay in Megillah when Purim comes out on Shabbos, why we don't lay it on Shabbos, because you might carry it. So therefore, you might think, by the same token, then, don't be darshaning about the Megillah. If you're darshaning on the Megillah, or on the Din of Purim, or whatever, somebody may forget and carry their Megillah to Shul in order to follow along with the Joshua, or whatever. Yeah, but that's the thing. Kamash Malon, that's the Chiddush, that we're not worried about that.
It's a
zero on a zero. It wouldn't really be. You could argue it's one big zero, maybe. But okay, whatever it is, we're not worried about that. Tosfos points out, by the way, that if Purim is on a weekday, you don't really need this. You don't need to darshan about the Megillah. You're reading the actual Megillah. That's the biggest personal minister there is. If Purim comes out on Shabbos, where you can't read it that day, then you need to be darshan. Then you need to be darshaning about it in order to be mafarish something else. A person is obligated to read the Megillah by night, and to be shoyne it by day, which we're going to talk in a second what that means. Shenema, the pasuk says, Elikai ekra yoyim v'loy sana, I call out by day and you don't answer me, v'layla v'loy dumili, and by night, and I'm not, and I never have any silence. So we see, you have to call out by day and by night. This capital is for this from Capital Chavez in Tillim, which is the capital that it's referring to Esther. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to have, later on in this parak, we're going to have how the Gemara is going to explain how several psukim in that parak are directly referring to Esther's situation when she's standing in front of Achashverosh. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Sogomino, the Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon Levi, thought that that meant, L'mikre v'layla, ul'misne masnisin didabi mama. That what Rabbi Shimon Levi meant is you have to read the actual Megillah at night, but what does it mean? L'shan noisa is m'loshan Mishnah. That you have to learn the Mishnah, the Mishnayas Megillah by day. Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba personally explained to me that no, l'shanoisa means to repeat it. If you're going to Amri Inchi, it's like when people say, ever parasha sadaba esniye, I'm going to review this parasha and repeat it. So l'shanoisa does not mean to say the Mishnayas, it means to repeat the Megillah. That you say it by night, you read it by night, and you read it again by day. Itmanami, they said also, Amar Abchelba Amar Ula Bira, Chayav Adam Likras Amar Megillah Balaylo Shanaisa Vayem, a person is obligated to read the Megillah by night and repeat it by day. Shanamar, as the Pasuk says, Laman Yamecha Chavad Vela Yidim, in order that my Chavad, meaning my Neshama, will sing to you, Vela Yidim, and it won't be silent. So the double expression, Yizamecha is by day, Vela Yidim is by night. Hashem Alekai La Ola Maydeka. I'll praise you forever. And Rashi says this kapitel also is referring to the story of Mordechai and Esther. Amrim Hashem Kidi Lisani, that Mordechai is saying over there when he was lifted up out of the dust and sackcloth and whatever, the sackcloth and ashes and whatever, and put on the horse and then being ridden around by Haman. So that whole kapitel also has to do with those events.
He wrote it
with Rosh Hashanah. Well, David HaMelech wrote it. Yeah, I mean, David HaMelech wrote it means David, right? He had Rosh Hashanah about the events of the future, yeah. This, by the way, that we're talking about, the poskim talk about, Tosfos starts the discussion over here. If we're saying that you have to read the Megillah by night and you have to read it again by day, what about saying Shechionu? Do you say Shechionu on it twice? On the face of it, if you're reading it by night, why should you have to say Shechionu? One second. That's the question. On reading the Megillah, do we? We say it by night, definitely, because it's a mitzvah that comes from time to time. Do you also say it again by day? Tosfos says yes, because the main persum in Nitzah is the Kriya by day. The one by night we're doing because Lamani is a Mechachabah, or Velo Yidim, rather, or Velayla Velo Yidim Yili, but the main Kriya is the one by day. So therefore you have to say Shech Yonu on that one, and therefore you actually, of course, Tosfos is saying, you say Shech Yonu twice, by night, the first one, and by day, because that's the main persum in Nitzah. The Rambam disagrees with that. The Rambam says you only say Shech Yonu by night. In the Siddur, the Alter Rebbe passed in the coins of the Rambam. You only say Shech Yonu by night, and you do not repeat it again by day. However, there's a footnote there in the Siddur that the Tzemach Tzedek disagreed with that. This is one of the rare cases where the Tzemach Tzedek disagrees with the Alter Rebbe. And Paskins like Tosfos, that you do say Shech Yonu by day as well. And that's kind of what we do. But this is also part of the reason why when they read the Megillah by day, they always say, or have in mind doing Shech Yonu, that we're reading mostly the other mitzvahs of Purim. That's part of the reason why, in order that way you have more, so to speak, more of an excuse to say Shech Yonu.
What is
We don't have Hilchos Megillah in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, so we don't know what he wrote there.
It was lost.
But in the Siddur, he writes that you only say Shech Yonu by night, and then in the Siddur it says Onu Mavarchem Shech Yonu Gam Bayoyim. And if you look in Shara Kol and whatever, you can find that it's based on the Tzemach Tzedek has a whole tshuva about it where he disagrees with the Alter Rebbe. Anyway. The Mishnah said, El Shach Forum Machdim and Yom HaKnisa, that the villages can move up the Megillah reading to the Yom HaKnisa, to Monday or Thursday. Amr Rav Chanina, Chachamim Hekilu Al HaKforim Liyas Machdim and Yom HaKnisa, the Chachamim made a leniency for the people of the villages, that they can move it back to the Yom HaKnisa, Kadeshi Yisakku, Mayim HaMozim Lachem Shebakrachim, in order that they can supply water and food to their brothers in the big cities. Meaning, we had this at the beginning of the Masechta. The big cities, they don't grow their own food. They rely on the people in the villages to bring it to them. So if you make it that on Purim itself, they're going to be busy hearing the Megillah. They're not going to have time to be able to sell water and food. So therefore, you make it that when they're coming in anyway, on Monday or Thursday, they can, and they're bringing in the food then they can hear the Megillah. And that way on Purim itself, actually, this is how Rashi explains it. The Ritva explains it a little differently. That way on Purim itself, they can come in again with water and food on that day when people need it for the Suda. So that way they're not busy, that way they're not busy with Megillah reading. So you're telling me that this idea that the Kfarim can read the Megillah Monday and Thursday is meant for the benefit of the people in the cities? Well, it's not, but we learn in the Mishnah, and we said if Kfarim comes out on Monday, then the villages and the large cities read on that day, Monday the 14th. Ve'im Issa. If you're telling me that the reason is you want to make it convenient in order that in order that this way they can bring water and food on this way they can hear the Megillah earlier and have time to bring water and food on Purim. If you're telling me that, then you should move it back to the previous Yom HaKnesa. Let him be able to read on the Thursday before Purim, which would be 4 days earlier. The answer is he can't. Habaluhu Asara, because that would bring us all the way back to the 10th of Adar. Asara lechakin rabbanim. The Chachamim never made a takana that you can read the Megillah on the 10th. We said the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, but there was never any takana for the 10th. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let me bring another proof. Chali is b'chamishi, the Mishnah further says that if Purim comes out on Thursday, Kfarim b'yaros b'yaros Kfarim b'yaros, the villages and the large cities read all on that day. Now again, Ve'im Issa, if you're telling me that you want to make it convenient for them, listim uli yemachnisa, let them do it the previous yemachnisa, which is Monday, da'achad asahu, that'll be on the 11th. So then you're fine, the 11th is one of the days when you're allowed to read. The answer is no. The Yom HaKnisa loy dachin, and we're not going to push them from one Yom HaKnisa to the other. Since Purim itself is already on the Yom HaKnisa, we're not going to move it back to a previous Yom HaKnisa. Because for one thing, Mefarshim said, because then we'd be inconsistent. Then we'd have sometimes you are when Purim comes out on Thursday, sometimes we're not when Purim comes out on Monday, because we just said you can't go all the way back to the 10th. So to be consistent, we're just going to say it's always, if it's on a Yom HaKnisa, you read that day and then finish. Chashma, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, Emesai, when does this rule apply that the Kfarim can read on an earlier day? B'makam she'nechnas m'sheni v'chamishi, in places where they come into the big cities on Monday and Thursday. Abu makam she'nechnas m'sheni v'chamishi, but in places where they don't come in Monday and Thursday, ain't koyinot ala b'zmanav, and you can only read it in its proper time, on the 14th. Now, if you're telling me that the reason why we have these earlier days is for the convenience of the big cities so that they're able to get their supplies of water and food on Purim, so what? Because the people of the villages don't feel like coming in on Monday and Thursday, therefore the people of big cities should lose out. Because we're saying that now what's going to happen is on Purim, now what we're saying is the villages are not going to be able to read the Megillah earlier. They're going to have to come into town on Purim day itself, and then they're not going to have time to bring water and food to the city because they're going to be too busy with the mitzvahs of Purim. From the Kfarim. Yeah, from the small places. No. The Kfarim are bringing water and food to the big cities. Because the big cities don't grow their own food. They don't have farms in the city. And yeah.
Yeah. If they come on.
So let's say. So we're saying if they don't come in Mondays and Thursdays, and we're not giving them this kula, we don't allow them. They have to read the Megillah on Purim, whatever day of the week Purim is. But then the Krakim are losing out from it, because then the villagers are saying, well, you know what? We don't have time to bring food and sell it today because we're too busy hearing the Megillah. So Gemara answers, "Loi tamei kadeshi yisapku mayim amazin." Okay, you have to change it a little bit. It's not we allow them to do this in order that they should supply water and food. Ela ema b'neishim yisapku mayim amazin lachem shebakrachim. It's like a reward for them because they supply water and food, because they make it possible for the people of the Krakim to eat and drink and celebrate Purim. Therefore we give them this kula of being able to come in that on the day they come in anyway to hear Kirsat Torah or for Din Torah or whatever. They can also hear the Megillah. But and therefore, if they don't come in on those days, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, then they don't get that dispensation. So it's not for the sake of in order that they should be able to supply water and food. It's as a reward for the fact that they do that.
Yeah, but they still don't have the time, even if it's a reward.
No, but that's the point. If they don't come in on Monday and Thursday anyhow, there's nothing to reward them for. So then, tough luck, they're going to have to arrange their day so that they're going to have time to sell water, to bring water and food, and also to hear the Megillah. Because they're anyway not bothering to come in on a regular schedule. So Rashi said at the beginning of the Masechta that they don't have anybody in their cities who knows how to read the Megillah. So Rashi actually said somebody from the city has to read it for them. Other Rishonim, we said then, that other Rishonim just argue with that, and they say that you can't really do that, because how can a person from the city read for them if it's not a day that he himself is chayav? They say that no, the person from the village itself reads for them, but maybe they don't have a Megillah, they don't have a minion, whatever it is. So yeah.
Nobody's going to come to the city for them. If they don't come to their food, they wouldn't.
Well, even if somebody does come from the city, even if somebody does go on with the Purim to them to read, but still, they have to do it on Purim itself. They don't get the dispensation of doing it on an earlier day. That everyone talked about in a letter, the deeper idea of this whole thing about the Kfarim versus the Krachim, and the fact that the Kfarim get a few days ahead, and the big cities on the 14th, and the walled cities on the 15th. I'm not sure I remember all of it, but the gist of it was that the gist of it was that you have the four letters of Shem Havaya, which represent Moichin Mida, Moichin Zah, Malchus, etc., and Kotzer Shoyud. So therefore, you have the 5 days. So the people in the villages, like they haven't reached the ultimate level of Avodah yet. Only the people in the big cities and the people in the walled cities where they're actually walled off. They've reached the ultimate in all of that. They've reached the ultimate in their Avodah. The people in the big cities not quite. So therefore, like they're 4 days after the 10th. They reach only the 14th. The Kfarim are not even to that point. The Kfarim are like people who've been able to refine one or another part of themselves, but not all four parts. So therefore they read on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, as the case may be. But they have the advantage because they're Mesafkim, Maimon, Mazon, Lachem, Shemakrakim, because they work with Gashmias to be able to be Mavara Gashmias for the sake of the higher people. Therefore we give them the skola of being able to that they can read the Megillah on their own at their own level, basically. Whereas otherwise we make them go according to, otherwise we make them, that they have to go together with the big cities. Something like that, I don't know.
They have to listen to the Megillah.
They have to hear the Megillah either way, but if they're Mesafka, Maimon, Mazon, if they're working with the world, then we give them that dispensation that therefore they can read the Megillah, like, so to speak, representing where they're holding in Avodah, even though it's not the ultimate in Avodah yet. We allow them to stay at their own level, kind of. Something like that. Mishnah said, "Kate says Chalias B'Sheni B'Shabbos. How does this work? If Purim comes out on Monday, Kfarim Vayoros goes to Purim Rabbi Yom B'Chula." And the Mishnah had gone through all the different possible scenarios: what day of the week Purim falls on. That we say the Ayoros Golos read that day. The Kfarim read either on that day or on that day or the previous Yom Akriya, whichever one is closest. And the Mokofos Chaim, the walled cities, read the next day. Now the Mishnah went out through it in order of the days of the week. Why is it first the Mishnah starts out listing them in order of the days of the month, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15? Or Mishnah Sefer, why is it at the end, instead of going, what should the Mishnah have done, the Gemara is asking, the Mishnah should have done like this. If Purim comes out on Sunday, then the Kfarim read on the 11th, which is Thursday, the previous Thursday. If Purim comes out on Shabbos, Then they read the previous Thursday, which is the 12th. If it comes out on Friday, they read on the 13th, and so forth. It should go like that. It should go backwards through the week, because then you're going in order of the days of the month that they read on. 11, 12, you're showing. When do they read on the 11th? When do they read on the 12th, etc.? Like this, when you're doing it in order of days of the week, you're going out of order of the days of the month. You're starting with a case when they read on the 14th, then a case when they read on the 13th, then a case when they read on the 12th. The answer is, I did it because then you would get confused. So therefore it goes according to the days of the week. Meaning, if the Mishnah actually had to say that, for example, when Purim is on Sunday, the Kfarim read the previous Thursday, which is the 11th, and so it would go through each one of them, if you had to go backwards like that through the week, from Sunday to Shabbos to Friday, etc., you'd get mixed up. You'd end up leaving one of them out or something. Like this, the Mishnah is not mentioning the days of the month at all. The Mishnah is just telling us that they go to the Yom HaKnisah. You figure out for yourself what day the Yom HaKnisah is. This way, all you're mentioning is the days of the week, straight through, from Monday to Sunday, and that way it's easier to remember and not get mixed up. Mishnah said Chalias be'Erev Shabbos v'Cholo, that if Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos, then we said that the villages and the big cities read on Thursday. We said that the villages read on Yom HaKnisah on Thursday, as they used to do. The big cities and the walled cities both read on Friday, the 14th. The Gemara says, Masnus in Mani, who is our mission alike? And the answer is, E-Rabbi. It could either be according to Rabbi, or it could be according to Rabbi Yossi. My Rebbe, where does Rebbe talk about this? The Tanya, Chalias be'Erev Shabbos, the Bryce says, if Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos, Kfarim Ayoros Golos Maknim in the Yom HaKnisah, then the villages and the big cities move back to Yom HaKnisah to Thursday, or Mokof and Chaimo, Kohen Rebbe Yom, and the walled cities read on Friday the 14th. That's the Tanakama. Rebbe Omer, but Rebbe says, no, Omer Ani, Lo Yudochu Ayoros Mokomen, you do not push away the regular cities from their place. Their normal day is Friday, the 14th, so they should go ahead and read on that day. Ella, Ela Bela, Kurin Rebbe Yem. So rather both them and the walled cities are going to read on Friday the 14th. So that's when we're saying that's the one possibility. Our Mishnah is according to Rebbe. According to the Tanakhama, that Braisa, that our Mishnah should have said that the regular cities read on Thursday. Our Mishnah says they read on Friday along with the walled cities. That's according to Rebbe. My time at the Tanakhama, what's the Tanakhama's reason why he says, we understand the Gemara is going to explain later why you can't read the Megillah on Shabbos. Why did the Tanakhama say that instead of the regular cities reading on Friday, why do we move them back to Thursday? Just did, because the pasuk says, B'chol Shana V'Shana, the Purim has to be celebrated and you have to read the Megillah every year. Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Ayoras Kered Mislim Okafim. So just like in every regular year, regular cities read before the walled cities, because the 14th and 15th respectively. Afkana Ayoras Kered Mislim Okafim. The same thing, the Tanakhama argues. Here also, you have to have the regular cities are going to read before the walled cities. Since the walled cities have to read on Friday, so they can't read on Sunday because it'll already be too late, below Yavar. You can't do it on Shabbos because it's later than Yavar. Necessarily, they have to read on Thursday. So necessarily, yes, the Ayoras Stolos are going to have to be pushed back yet another day so they're not on the same day. Because you always have to have them on a different day than the walled city. Everybody says, why? Ema b'chol shana v'shana. Why? Say that you can learn differently from those words. Mak v'chol shana v'shana ein nitchen ayoras memkonim. It's like in every regular year, the big cities are not pushed out of their place. They read on the 14th. Afkan la yodoch ayoras memkonim. And so the same thing, argue over here. B'chol shana v'shana means that every year, the regular cities always read on the 14th, period. Yeah. Which means, in this case, it will be on the same day as the Mokopan Chaimah. The answer is shiny hachat alay apshur. It's different in this case, the Tanakhama argues. It's more important that you have to have the regular cities and the walled cities have separate days. So therefore, yes, if that means that's what the Tanakhama is arguing. That's it. When we're talking about it, in other words, we're saying there has to be b'chol shana v'shana, that every year has to be the same. As far as what the Tanakhama is arguing, it's more important that each of them has to have a different day than that the Ayaras Golos have to have a fixed day. So yes, if that means we have to move the Ayaras Golos to Thursday the 13th, we'll do that.
What is so important that they have to have a
Because we're going to have later, because we're going to have later. Zmanei Shalzeh, Lo Zmanei Shalzeh. We had back on Bezim Aleph that we learned from the word Bizmanehem that the regular cities and the walled cities are supposed to have different times for reading the Megillah. So the Tanakhama is arguing that's the key thing. If that means moving the Ayoras Golos back one day, because we have to move the walled cities back one day, fine, we'll do that. Yeah. V'Rebbe, my time, and what is Rebbe? What's Rebbe's reason? Because he argues the other way around. B'chol shana v'shana, again, from the same words, that it has to be the same as every year. Ma kol shana v'shana ein ayoras nidachas mimkayim. Just like in every year, the regular cities are not pushed out of their place. They always read on the 14th. Afkan lo yodoch ayoras mimkayim. So the same thing here. They shouldn't be pushed. And you ask why. Say the other way around. Say like the Tanakhama. B'eim b'chol shana v'shana. Ma kol shana v'shana ayoras kodim mislim akafin. Just like in every regular year, the regular cities read before the walled cities. Afkan name ayoras kodim mislim akafin. And again, the answer is Chinese hachad lo yafshir. Again, Rebbe would argue it's different over here. You can't do it that way. He understands the B'chol Shana V'Shana means that the more important factor is the Ayoras Kodesh always have to be on the 14th, except when we have Zer Zerabah. That's a different matter. So therefore, he argues if that means that they have to that there's going to be a case when they're going to read on the same day as the walled cities. Okay, so be it. So that's one possibility that our Mishnah then could be according to Rebbe. My Rabbi Yossi, where do we see Rabbi Yossi talks about this? The Tanya. Chalias for Erev Shabbos, if Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos, Mukofen Ukfarim Makdim in the Yom HaKnesset. So this one says a little differently. The walled cities and the villages go back to the Yom HaKnesset the Thursday. Bayar HaSkirlis, Kohen Rabbi Yossi. And the big cities read on that day, on Friday. Rabbi Yossi, Ein Mukofen Kohen Rabbi Yossi. You never have the walled cities come before the regular cities. Ela Elu Ve'elu Kohen Rabbi Yossi. Rather, both of them read on the same day, on Friday, which is what our Mishnah is saying. So the Tanakhama of this Braisa is saying differently than the Tanakhama of the previous Braisa. The previous Braisa, the Tanakhama had said that the big cities go back to Thursday. The walled cities do on Friday, and nobody reads on Shabbos. And Rebbe argued with that and said that the big cities and the walled cities do on Friday. In our Braisa, the Tanakhama is saying that on the contrary, not only do we not do, the walled cities don't go on Friday, they go all the way back to Thursday. This year, they end up being before the regular cities. And Rav Yossi argues that. Yeah, the Tanakhama, the previous Tana had always said that it's after the regular cities, just that you move each of them back one day. This Tana is saying you move the walled cities back 2 days and leave the regular cities where they are. Yeah. So again, Rav Yossi and Mokofen Kermin La Yoris, Rav Yossi says you never have the walled cities before the regular cities, Ela Eleven Kern Rebbe Yom, they all read on Friday. again, my time in the Tanakhama, Dichtiv b'chol shana v'shana, the same pasuk that says that Purim has to be celebrated the same way every year. Ma kol shana v'shana ayorof ba'bo, so uz manesh ozeh lo izmanesh ozeh, just like every year you have two factors. Till now we've been talking about two factors. One is that whether the walled cities and regular cities should be reading on the same day, and the other is whether the regular cities should always be reading on the 14th. Now the Tanakhama of the second Braisa is pointing out there's another issue to consider. In every regular year, the regular cities are a day before the walled cities. So, just like every, but he says, nevertheless, we're ignoring that factor. Just like every year, Ayoras Baba, so number one, the regular cities are on the 14th, and number two, Zmanesh Hazel, Zmanesh Hazel, the walled cities and the regular cities have different days, 14th and 15th. Afkan, the same thing over here, Ayoras Baba, so you still leave the regular cities on the 14th. But you make it that they have two different times. So therefore, yes, you can't have them read it on Shabbos, Zeyadudaba. You can't have it on Friday because that would be the same day, because then you're not going to have Zmanashazela. You're going to have two of them on the same day. Necessarily, you have to move them back to Thursday. That's what it's Shana Bashana, in the sense that we've taken care of two out of the three possible factors. The regular cities are always on the 14th, and the walled cities are always on a different day than the regular cities. Part of the machlokes, before I should point out, we talked the other day about the shittus of the Ramban and the Ran, how it comes about that you have Purim on the 14th for regular cities and on the wall and in walled cities on the 15th, where the Ramban says that originally the people in the walled cities in Eretz Yisrael felt they were in danger from the whole thing, so they didn't start celebrating Purim on their own until Mordechai and the Sanhedrin wrote to them that they have to and that they should go according to the Shushan where the Ikar Nes happened. As opposed to the Ran says, no such thing. Rather, the reason why the walled cities celebrate on the 15th is because the Nes was greater in Shushan than it was anywhere else. There were more anti-Semites there than there were anywhere else, and had to specially ask the king for an extra day to fight, etc. So the Nes was greater there, and therefore the walled cities go according to that. So here, where we're talking about what's more important, that the regular cities should always have their day of the 14th, or that the walled cities should always be on a different day than the regular cities, that relates to the smachlokes between the Ramban and the Ran about the reason for the two different days anyway. Yeah. So the Tanakhama is saying, well, at least by doing it this way, we've taken care of two of the three possible factors. We make sure the regular cities are always on the 14th, and we make sure the walled cities are on a different day. That different day is before the regular cities, and usually they'd be after. Okay. So my ask back on that, the aim of a chol shana v'shana, why shouldn't the Tanakhama say that it should be just like every year? Ma'akol shana v'shana ein mokop and kreb min la'yoros, just like in every year, the walled cities are not before the regular cities. Abkan ein mokop and kreb min la'yoros, the same thing they shouldn't be before. Why are you putting them on Thursday and the regular cities on Friday? And the answer is shani hachad le'efshe. The Tanakhama feels there's no other way to do it, given the constraints that we say. And my time at the WAC, again, b'chol shana v'shana, ma chol shana v'shana ein mokof in kreim l'ayoros, just like in every year, the walled cities are not before the regular cities. They may be on the same day, but they're not before them. Afkan ein mokof in kreim l'ayoros, the same thing here, they can't be before them. And the question is, aim of chol shana v'shana, ma chol shana v'shana, z'manesh ozeh l'z'manesh ozeh, afkan z'manesh ozeh l'z'manesh ozeh. One should say that it means that everyone has to have their own unique time. The regular cities and the walled cities have to have different days. And again, the answer is shani hachad le'efshe. He says, okay, but it's impossible any other way, because according to him, you cannot have the walled cities be before the regular cities.
You cannot have all the three principles.
You can't, yeah. In this case, you're going to have to put away one of the principles, so yeah. You're telling me that Rebbe does not hold that the big cities ever get moved to the Yom HaKnisa? V'hatanya, chali is b'Shabbos, but Bryce says, if Purim comes out on Shabbos, Kfarim Makdim in the Yom HaKnisa, the villages go back to the Yom HaKnisa, they read on Thursday, the 12th. Ayaros Derlis, Kohen Be'er Shabbos, the regular cities read on Erev Shabbos, Umukopis, Chaim Lamachar, and the walled cities read the next day on Sunday. And nowadays this can't happen. Regular Purim for us can't come out on Shabbos. But in those times when it could, then this is how they do it. And the Braisa continues, Rebbe Omer Ani, Hoyol V'Nitchu Ayoros V'Mkayman, once the regular cities have been pushed out of their regular position, they can't read the Megillah on Shabbos because they're the Rabbah. So Rebbe is saying, once they've been pushed, Yudachol Yom HaKnisa, they should be pushed back to the Yom HaKnisa. And in fact, on Thursday, and in fact, there are Rishonim who have that Girsay in our Mishnah as well. In our Mishnah, when it talks about the case of Purim on Shabbos, there's two different Girsay, whether it says that the Ayoros Girlis read on Friday or on Thursday. So we see that Rebbe holds that the big. We see that the yeah. We see that there's a case where Rebbe says the big cities do weed on Thursday the 12th, rather than on the regular day. The answer is Halki Hashlik. I said, how can you even think to compare? Hossam is Manam Shabbos. In that case, their regular time is supposed to be on Shabbos, the 14th. V'hoyo, v'nidchu, yidchu. Once they've been pushed off already, once you have to push them back to Friday, then already, once you have to push them off because of Shabbos, already then you can push them all the way back to Thursday. Because they're anyway not reading on the 14th. V'hocha is Manam Erev Shabbos. Whereas here, when we're talking about when regular Purim falls on Erev Shabbos, that is the day they're supposed to be reading. There's no reason to move them to another day, Rabbi says. Why? You're moving them to another day just because you want to make room for the Mokop, and that's not a good enough reason. We ask, Kaman az lahadu amar abchel boi amar abhuna, Purim shechalias b'Shabbos. Who does it go like? This that Abchelbe says in the name of Abhuna, Purim shechalias b'Shabbos, hakol nidchen the Yom HaKnissa. That if Purim comes out on Shabbos, everybody gets pushed back to the Yom HaKnissa. Wait a minute, what do you mean? Hakol nitchin sakhadaydach. Varikam ukafin, da'avi l'machar. The walled cities don't get pushed back to Thursday, they read the Megillah on Sunday, the 15th. Ella, what it means, what Rav Huna meant to say is, kol anitcha yidach al yemaknisa. Anybody who gets pushed to the yemaknisa, kiman to Rebbe. Who is that like? That would be according to Rebbe. Because according to the Chachamim, you wouldn't say that. According to the Chachamim, you would say you don't have a reason to move the Ayaros Gelos all the way back to Thursday. You don't want them on the same day as the Mokofetz Chaim. Fine, you won't anyway. The Mokofetz Chaim are doing it on Sunday. Let the regular cities do it on Friday. Rebbe is the one who's saying Hoyo v'nidche yidche that you may as well move it all the way back to Thursday. Yeah. Sigmar says. Dekula alma mia, be that as it may, where the bottom line is, everybody does agree, Megillah b'Shabbos like Torah, we do not read Megillah on Shabbos. My timer, famous thing, Amar Rabba, HaKol Chayov B'Kriyas Megillah, Shreifer, V'ein HaKol B'Kiyin B'Mikra Megillah. Everybody is chayov to read the Megillah, or to hear the Megillah at least, but not everybody is expert in reading the Megillah. Therefore, Gzeder Shemi Yitmana B'Yadah, it's Gzeder that the person might take the Megillah in his hand, V'yelech Etzabaki Luma, they'll go to an expert to learn how to read the Megillah, V'yavidana Abba Amas B'Shas Rabban, or carry a Fuamas in Rishas Rabban. On Purim, which would be on Shabbos. You might. You wake up Purim morning and realize that you don't know how to read the Megillah. And, you know. Yeah. Behind the time of the Shofar, behind the time of the Lulav. The same reason applies to Shofar and Lulav. Tosfos has a long discussion over here. Why are we talking about Dalet Amos Mirshas Rabim? Why don't we talk about that he's going to carry it out from his house into the street? Mirshas Yachad Mirshas Rabim. And Tosfos mentions a couple of possibilities. One is that people are more careful about that, where the person might be more careless about carrying four amas in Rosh Hashanah. No, once he's in Rosh Hashanah, he might forget and actually carry it Dalet Amos. As opposed to carry it outside the door of his house, people are careful about that. Second of all, Tosfos explains that when it comes to carrying from inside to outside, you can have cases where you potter anyway. We had way back in Shabbos, we picked it up just to carry it around the house, and then accidentally you carried it outside, you potter from a chatos. With carrying four amas in Rosh Hashanah, you're more likely to be chayav chatos. Rashi says a different reason. Rashi says, because what if you have, for example, a person who's staying out in the fields for Shabbos? There's no problem with him carrying from Rishus to Rishus, but there is a problem in carrying four amas in Rishus Rabbim. No, he's staying in the field for Shabbos, let's say, that he's going to carry from Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabbim. He's not in Rishus Yachid. But if he's walking into town, let's say that he's going to be walking on the street. So he'll be carrying Dalet Amos for Rishus Rabbim. He's not going to be carrying from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabbim because he's not in Rishus Yachid. The Rif has a different explanation why when it comes to Megillah and Shofar and Lulav we don't do them on Shabbos. He says a different reason besides this that the Gemara is saying Shem Yaviranu. The reason is because with all the days really we have a Sfeika D'Yoma. In Chutz Laaretz, at least, we have Sfeika D'Yoma on all these days. Is it really the day when we're chayav in the mitzvah of Lulav? Is it really the day when we're chayav in the mitzvah of Megillah? Or is it tomorrow? So because of that, even in Eretz Yisrael, therefore, we make the same zera. We want everybody to be consistent. Nah. And therefore, Tosfos asks over here why we don't say the same zera about a bris on Shabbos. Why we don't say, you know, you shouldn't make a bris on Shabbos because you might forget and carry the baby or carry the knife or something. According to Tosfos, gives different answers, but according to the Rif, the answer is very simple. In the case of a baby, you know it's the eighth day.
You're not going to carry,
but therefore the Chachamim are not going to ask you from making a bris on Shabbos because Gzeira D'Rabba, because it's not a question of Sfeika D'Yoma. As opposed to Shofar and Megillah and the rest of them, you're not sure. Is today really Purim, or is today really Yud Gimel Adar, and tomorrow is Purim?
It'll be Shabbos.
Yeah, that's the point. It's Shabbos, though. Everybody knows when Shabbos is. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says there's a different reason in the case of Megillah. Mipnei she'enein shalanim nesuris mikra Megillah. Because the eyes of the poor are lifted up to mikra Megillah. In other words, they know that when they're laying in the Megillah is when the people are giving out matanos le'avyonim. You can't do that on Shabbos. You can give them food, fine, but you can't give them money. So therefore, you don't want, yeah. Tanina mihachi. Even though we said that the villages go back to the Yom HaKnisa, nevertheless, Goyvin Bebeyem, they still collect Matanos Levyanim that day, or Machalkin Bebeyem, and they distribute it to Daniim that day. On the contrary, because they said what is the bride saying? On the day when the Kfarim read the Megillah is also the day when they do Matanos Levyanim. So it's not even though, it's because. Ella, that's what it means. Hayover Omer Shkfarim Akdim and Yom HaKnisa, because they said the Kfarim can read the Megillah early on the Yom HaKnisa, therefore Gurvin Rabbi Yom and Machalkin Rabbi Yom, therefore they collect the money that day and distribute it that day. And Pnei Sheinim Shalanim Nisuris Mikra Megillah, because the eyes of the poor are looking towards Mikra Megillah. They want to collect their Matanos Levyanim. Abel Simcha and the Hegas of Bizmana, but when it comes to the Simcha, the Suda of Purim, you only do that in its actual time on the day of Purim itself. So even the Kfarim who are reading on the 11th or 12th or 13th, the Sudas Purim has to be done on the day of Purim itself, the 14th. This is the Achronim talk about it at some length. What do they do in Purim when in Yerushalayim when Purim comes out, when Shushan Purim is on, their Purim is on Shabbos? How do they distribute? So Megillah, we just said in the Gemara over here, they can't read on Shabbos. The Maskana is that they read it on Friday. The Halacha is like Rebbe that they read it on the same day as everybody else in the world that year. What do they do as far as Matanos Levyonim? Based on our Gemara over here, some of the posts can say that they should be giving Matanos Levyonim that day also, on Friday, on the same day as Mikra Megillah. What about the Sudas Purim? That is also different days. Should they do the Sudas Purim on Shabbos? But then how are you showing that it's a Sudas Purim? It just looks like a Shabbos Sudah. So other posts can argue that Abach, I think, for example, argues that you should make a Purim Sudah instead on Sunday. That is how they come to have a Purim Mesholosh, a three-day Purim, in that case, in Yerushalayim. They read the Megillah and do Matanos Levyonim on Friday. They do the Purim. They do a Suda on Shabbos, as well as they say Al Nisim and they read Vayavay Amalek and so forth. And Sunday they have the main Purim Suda and they give Shalach Manas.
So they do the Mishkan on Erev Shabbos.
So because Erev Shabbos is not really Purim for them,